drop from above. Their opponents had managed to travel through the branches of the trees without disturbing the foliage enough to be visible, except to Jack's highly developed senses. The youth had looked up as his enemy had fallen and had palmed a knife. Falling with the woman, he pulled her to him and then used the momentum to part them, turning to come to his feet before her with the knife held in the palm of his hand. She did likewise.
Tammy!
Jack! Shit! Who the hell else could nearly get the better of me with a blade?
At the sound of this exchange, the fighting came to a surprised halt, as gate warriors recognized those they'd attacked, and the companions pulled back from their sudden line of defense. Warrior faced warrior, glad that combat had not proceeded further.
Well, well, by the three Kennedys, we were just saying how nice it would be to bump into you once again.
The astonishment on the part of the gate sec party was matched only by the relief of the companions. They had found their quarry after several days, where it seemed as though they were simply wandering.
Just wait till we get you back to camp. They won't believe it. Especially Gloria.
Tammy glanced mischievously at Jack.
Then let's get moving. Mildred got caught in a landslide, and she needs as much rest as possible.
Hell, it isn't that bad, Ryan.
Mildred flexed her still aching muscles.
Then again, maybe it's not such a bad idea.
The two groups picked themselves up and began to weave away through the dense woodland. They seemed to head toward the heart, where there would surely be little room for a tribe the gate size to camp, particularly if they wanted to erect camouflage barriers like the ones they'd used before the Mat-Trans jump.
By the goddess, I thought we'd lost you guys forever. What the hell happened back there, Jack?
Long story. Talk later.
Yeah, I guess so. The main thing is that you're all here, right? And we can get those fuckers now.
Even though Tammy and Jack were at the front of the sec party, the companions and the rest of the sec patrol were close enough to hear this exchange.
You mean the illuminated ones? You've seen them around here?
Hell yeah! More than that. But wait till we get back and celebrate your arrival. Gloria will tell you everything.
Ryan was about to press the matter, but was stayed by hand from an exhausted Doc.
I know you are impatient, friend Ryan. We all are. But you know that these women cannot be hurried.
Yeah, you're right, Doc. Damn it.
The journey, however, was over before any of the companions had a chance to realize it.
Hela!
Upon Tammy's signals, it seemed as though a bank of foliage opened up before them, revealing a clearing where the gate had set up its camp. Although all their camouflage, most of their wags, and a lot of tents had been left behind during the flight after the illuminated ones, the armory had been intact, and the tribe had obviously used its trading opportunities and skills to acquire more tents and materials and construct another set of camouflage shields from the materials around them. They had definitely disguised their whereabouts, as well as when the companions had first encountered them. As the sect party and companions entered the camp, there was considerable interest. Obviously, they'd been intercepted by a routine patrol that should have found nothing and should not have returned this early. However, the interest soon turned to a buzz of excitement as Ryan and his people were recognized. Dean, in particular, was looking out for John. For a second, he hoped impossibly to see Peter there, even though he could recall only too clearly his friend's chilling. Suddenly, John appeared from among the throng, disbelief mingling in his expression with sheer joy.
Dean! How the fuck?
Tell you later, but it's good to see you again.
Dean was quickly swept on by the tide of gate people, now propelling the companions toward the tent where Gloria, the queen of the gate, held court.
Wait till she sees you, Jack. She'll be so pleased, sweets.
Jack's visage was as impassive as ever. It was rare for him to let pleasure or pain show on his face. Although he was about to encounter Gloria once more, it wasn't joy that filled his heart. It was dread. The nightmare of the Mat-Trans dream still haunted him, and a part of him was on triple red for the gate queen to come from her tent and try to rip him to shreds, her body covered with the open sores of the pox. The tent flap parted, and Jack found himself tensing.
What the fuck is all this stupid works noise about? Has everyone gone plain stoop or what?
Gloria emerged into the open, straightening up and staring the companions full in the face. She stood silent for a moment, her mouth open in surprise. She was still the same Gloria, whip-thin, muscles glistening under her tan, the cut-off denims and shirt showing much of her taut skin, her eyes liquid under that flaming mane of red hair, and not a single blister, pockmark, or sore anywhere on her body.
Thank God.
Glory! I never thought we'd see you again! Any of you! But especially you, babes.
Gloria threw herself into Jack's arms and kissed him full on, her tongue expressing things that words could not.
This is truly a miracle! Now this we've just got to celebrate!
Gloria, glad as we are to see you. We've been searching for you for a reason.
There is nothing so pressing that we can't party down when the need arises.
But
nothing! Tomorrow we will talk about what we've done and where we've been and all that shit, sweet. But right now we will chill out and celebrate! Remember, honey, chilling out can keep you from being chilled.
Ryan stared at her for a second, but as her face cracked into a grin, the one-eyed man found himself following suit. And so the celebrations began. Although the celebration didn't end until first light, such were the restorative powers of the tribe that the companions found themselves roused shortly after noon, and while the rest of the tribe went about its business, Tammy and John joined their queen outside her tent to discover what had happened to the companions after they'd made the Matrens jump. But first, Dean congratulated John on becoming the Gate tribe's new armorer. After Margia had been killed during the battle in the Illuminated One's Redoubt, it had been important for someone to take over the armory. As John had been Margia's assistant, it seemed an obvious choice for Gloria to make, even though a male had never been awarded such status within the tribe. The young man was almost bashful as he was congratulated, and invited JB to check the armory later and give him any advice he had to offer. Getting to business, Ryan outlined to Gloria what had happened to them since they'd been parted. He put forward the theory that the old comps had a failsafe mechanism that changed the jump's destinations, and told of how they'd left the redoubt and traveled to Crossroads. He neglected to mention Jack's dream, and a glance at the teen confirmed that Jack, too, had been reticent to mention this to Gloria. He did, however, talk at great length of the disease they'd encountered in Crossroads, and how they felt it related to the Illuminated Ones. Mildred and Doc talked about the incidences of smallpox before it had been eradicated, long before the nuke cost. They wanted to drive home just how devastating it could be, in case it was hard for the Queen to imagine. But Gloria could quite plainly see the importance of such a disease spreading across the land.
None of us have been in the Ville long enough to see what you're talking about. But it seems to me that the Baron is some kind of a stupid works fool who'd rather hide his head than face facts. If they're hiding it away, then it'll be the chilling of them all. That's their choice, but not when it affects the rest of the people across the land. I knew our paths were fated to cross again. As to your notion that the old tech would send us to different places from the Illuminated Ones, then either you're wrong about that, or time has really fucked their tech, because we ended up following them right into the belly of their beast.
Well, judging from their battle tactics, they ain't the smartest bastards in the gaudy nursery.
Right. You warned us about traveling through the chambers and how it could make you feel. But I don't think any of us were really prepared for the feeling of being torn up into tiny pieces and then flung through the air before being shoved back together by a heavy hand. None of us were really ready to fight, and the fact that we had to get it together and face whatever was outside only made things harder. But I guess that they were feeling the same way, or else they didn't expect us to follow them, because no one came to attack us, thank the goddess.
See? I would have.